Okay, good luck, everybody. Always a schus to start off the week with Torah, with Chizik, with Ruchnius. Especially this Matzah Shabbos, and we'll get to that in a few moments after a long Lichtige Yontif of Chanukah. So important to still stay connected in such deep ways. Before we begin, just well, the Torah, the Chizik, all the Zohar tonight. It's been sponsored anonymously, first of all. For Fushlema, Esther Malka Basfreda. Esther Malka Basfreda is a grandmother of one of the Chevra, as well as a few Talmidim of mine, and a very special woman in Emirat Hashem. She should have complete refuah Karov, when she's have Besur's Toivos, and Figadav, and Esther Malka Basfreda, Bez Hashem is Baruch. Of good news. As well as continue to learn and to bring Chizik and Osiris. Refu Shalema, Yaakov and Sarah, and as well, if you could have Yaakov and Sarah, someone I'm very, very close to, an incredible person, Nish Chesed, Tzadik, Mirat Hashem, we're going to B'Sur Tovos, and Refuos, and Yeshuos, B'Soch Shar Chayil Yisrael. There was a little boy, and this boy went to his grandparents, was staying over his grandparents' house the night after Chanukah. 3-4-year-old boy, and he's there, and it came nighttime, and he asked, we're gonna light Chanukah licht. The past 8 days, they've lit the candles, and he was so excited, and sing, and present, and his grandmother looks at him and says, no, we're not gonna light Chanukah candles tonight, it's over. And he got very sad, he started crying, and he asked if he could call his parents. Call his mother, he says, yeah, call. He gets on the phone with his mother, he says, can you come pick me up? He says, what's wrong? Don't you like it by your grandparents? What's wrong? He says, they're not going to light Chanukah candles here. I want to come home. Now, obviously, he's a little boy. And he didn't fully grasp what was going on. But a lot of us feel the same way. You know, we go through a beautiful Yontif. We always look forward to a Yontif. Look forward to a Chanukah. Especially this year, there's been so much darkness. It continues to be darkness, and we need the light of Chanukah, the light of hope, the light of Hashem. And always, it just, right, let's be real, it goes by so quickly. It goes by so quickly. Even at the beginning, you know, we say, okay, it's going to be 8 nights, but before you know it, it's the last night of Chanukah. And then, terrifying, like the blink of an eye, it's just gone. So I want to share a story that happened to me a few years ago. We'll start. This is a story I ended a share Thursday night. A men's share. I don't know how many of you listened. We're gonna take off from the end of that share and just continue. You don't have to listen to that share. We're going to go in a different direction. But I think it was 2 years ago. Chanukah was just like this and ended on a Thursday night. Thursday night in my home. Every Thursday night, I have a shiur for men. It's very, very late at night. Very special shiur. And a lot of the guys stay over at the end after just to talk and hanging out. And the last guys were leaving. It was definitely after 1:30 in the morning. Maybe closer to 2. I'm not sure exactly. And I'm walking them out. And the shiur goes on in my dining room. I light the menorah in my living room. There's a hallway in between. I'm walking them to the door. And I happen to notice by my menorah, again, this is the last night of Chanukah a few years ago. There's one candle still lit. It's getting smaller, but one candle still lit. The last candle of Chanukah in my home. The last candle of Chanukah. And I go over to watch this candle. And literally it was about 60 to 90 seconds. And it slowly is getting smaller and smaller and goes out. I got to watch it for about 60 to 90 seconds. That was it. And it was incredible, impeccable timing. Obviously, all hashgacha from the Eibishter. If we would have been in the dining room for another 2 minutes, I wouldn't have seen this candle. To watch that final candle of Zeis Chanukah. But it was very powerful. Very emotional. Watch, it was like watching Hanukkah wither away, fade away. And I mamish at first, I started crying. MSA. I started crying just to watch that, to see that. You know, when you light them and they're okay, but to literally watch the last candle go out, it's very sad. It was still Hanukkah, obviously, for that night and the next day, but. And while I'm standing there watching with tears, the following thought came to me, and it was that ultimately we lit the last candle. But that fire that represents the fire of Ruchnius, the fire of Islavus, of passion, the fire of Aaron Neshama, Ki Ner Hashem Nishmas Adam, the fire on some level, the light of the Rabbi Neshama, as we know, the lights represent the 36 candles, represent the 36 hours that the Or HaGanuz, the hidden light of Hashem, was in this world. It represents Hashem's presence in this world. The menorah in the base of Migdash represented the Shekhinah that was amongst us, that is amongst us. I said to myself at that moment, it's true that the last candle went out, but now we have to be on fire. Now we have to be on fire. Now we have to be burning bright. We so often rely on the chizik, on isoris, on inspiration from the outside, from a yontiv, from a davening, from a shir, from a kumzitz. And that's very important. They're all important. But the goal we have to hit a point where we're on fire. Yes, we always tap into that inspiration and that, but ultimately I'm on fire. I don't need it constantly. I'm the fire that's burning bright. And I think that's actually shot in somewhat of a puzzling Rashi. It seems so simple when talking about the menorah. The beginning of Baal Oscha, Rashi tells us on that Lashon, Baal Oscha, where Aaron is told, Daber Aaron v'amarte lev baluzcha saneros, to light the menorah. So what does baluzcha mean? So Rashi says, shetzorich lahadlik, you have to ignite the menorah, achitei hashal heves ola me'aleha. Maybe some of the chevra knows the Zusha song on these words, very beautiful song. Achetei shal heves oilem aleha. You have to light the menorah until the flame is going up by itself. And what does that exactly mean? Isn't that just the definition of lighting any candle? What does that mean? You have to light it until the flame is on its own? Obviously, every time I light a candle, I don't stay with my, let's say I'm lighting from a match, I'm lighting from a lighter, a chmesnish, whatever it might be. I'm not staying there connected to that candle for the length of the candle's life. I light it and leave it. Like I need a Rashi, I need a Torah to tell me what the definition of lighting a candle is. Like that's a chiddush. So maybe it's telling us something deeper. And so what came to me a few years ago watching that last candle of the Chanukah go out, Achitei shel heves ola mehalah, means that all of this that represents the ruchnius of our lives, until we're alive, we're on fire, we're standing ola mehalah from it itself, us ourselves, we're on fire. I'm on fire in my avodas Hashem. I'm on fire in my passion, in my mitzvahs. I feel the light of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in my life every moment. Not just in the times when he's so clear and revealed. Always. You know, Torah is supposed to do that to us. Torah is supposed to make us a fire. The Torah is compared to fire. The Pasuk says, Halo kedivrei esh neum Hashem. The Torah is compared to fire. And Rav Shalom Shadran, the great Magid of Yerushalayim, in his Sefer Koldo Didoifek, says the most beautiful idea on that, what that means. And maybe that will explain what it means for you and I to be on fire somewhat. Because that's what it needs to be. Yes, it's true, the last candle went out this past Thursday night. But that means we're able to continue to brighten up the dark nights without the licht, without the menorah. That Aryeh Cohn could be on fire, that you could be on fire, that we could be brightening the nights and the days. So what does it mean Torah is compared to fire? Why is Torah compared to fire? Shom Shadran says something so beautiful. He says there are a lot of very powerful forces in nature. Wind is very powerful. Wind can come in and knock down buildings and knock down trees and cause a lot of damage. Water is very powerful. Water can come and flood a house, flood a building, and have literally sometimes years of consequences and ramifications. And fire, of course, is also very powerful. A fire can engulf a house, engulf a tree, engulf. It's a very powerful, powerful entity in nature. But there's a difference, he says, between wind and water and fire. When wind comes and knocks down a building, it knocks down the building. But the building doesn't become wind. And the building doesn't become water. When fire engulfs, it's transformative. When fire engulfs, what happens? The entire building becomes fire. The wood of the building, whatever else is there, the tree, it becomes fire. It all becomes fire. It transforms the entity into fire. Halo kedivrei Hashem means Torah, mitzvos, a life of dedication to Hashem transforms us. We become that. I'm a walking fire. I'm a walking individual who's aware of the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu by my side every moment, even when I'm not lighting a menorah. And I feel the passion, and I feel the excitement. We all can be. You know, there's a Gemara in Yuma, Memhei on the Beis, that says we learn that they, you know where the fire of the menorah came from? The fire of the menorah came from the fire of the Mizbeach. By the menorah it says, La'alos ner tamid. And by the Mizbeach it says, Eish tamid. They both say it's a ner tamid, an Eish tamid. So we learn that the fire of the menorah came from the fire of Mizbeach. And by the Mizbeach we say that famous pasuk, in Parshat Tzav, Perek Vav, Pasuk Vav, Eish tamid tukar al Mizbeach lo sichpe. A lot of shuls have that on top of their aron, here in Eish Kodesh. On top of the aron, Eish tamid tukar al Mizbeach lo sichpe. What do those words mean? An eternal flame. Eish tamid, an eternal flame, constant, should be ignited. Tukar on the Mizbeach, on the altar. Lo sichpe, it should not be extinguished. So the pasuk, if you think about it, is redundant, right? Once we say it's an Eish tamid, why do I have to say lo sichpe? If it's a constant flame, of course, lo sichpe. If it's Eish tamid, it's constant, I can't extinguish it. I don't have to say lo sichpe, it's tamid. And every letter, every word in Torah is precious. The Yerushalmi says, I'm talking just first about the Mizbeach itself in the Mishkan, because that's what's going on here. So the Mishkan, when it was set up, you had the Mizbeach, and then they travel, and they take apart the Mishkan, and they travel with the Mizbeach, and they carry the Mizbeach. And one might think that during that time, the fire was put out. During that time, the fire wasn't burning bright. You don't need it. You're not bringing karbanos as you're walking through the desert. Lo sichbe comes to include afilu b'masos, even when they were traveling. That's what the Rishalmi says. But what does that mean for you now? You know what the Mizbeach represents. The Mizbeach represents Avodah. Mizbeach represents the way we serve God. And that means afilu b'masos, even when we're traveling. Even, you know, sometimes in our lives, and traveling can mean a lot of things. Traveling can mean, literally, when we have vacation. For some of us, it's coming up sometime soon. And we have vacation. And when you have vacation, sometimes there are different challenges and different temptations, and we don't have our structured everyday life that I'm used to. Or traveling could just mean the travelings of life, the journeys of life. I'm traveling away from Hanukkah. I'm traveling away from Shabbos. I'm traveling away from my moments of inspiration. I feel asos, eish tomet, it should be an eternal flame. I'm still on fire. And that's the avoyedu. We left, it's true, we left Hanukkah. And it's true that we love our Yom Tovim and love our times that help us feel closer to Hashem, help us remember the how geshmak, how special it is to be a Yid. But the goal isn't to live needing that inspiration by our side always. We have to be able to be that shal heves, that's ola me'aleh. We have to be on fire ourselves and tapping into that when we can. You know, these past 2.5 months, these past 3 months have been so challenging for every single one of us. Every day a different challenge. Every day a different nisayon. Every day our hearts going up and down. So much saras that we've never dealt with in this generation. And moments of joy, moments of pidyon and geula, but then coupled with constant saras. It's a roller coaster of emotion. How are we able to walk through this time and keep our heads up and be davening and learning and being the yid, the Eved Hashem, the Bas Torah we should be, because it has to be that we have so much inspiration from all that HaKadosh Baruch Hu shined upon us throughout our lives, through every Shabbos, through every Yontiv, that it's part of us. I'm already on fire in a way that I can handle whatever comes my way. I can handle the challenges of life. I can handle the times when to some he might seem somewhat farther and there's some level of hester upon him. Some level of concealment. But I'm on fire, so I bring the light. I bring the light. That's why it is, you know, it's amazing, right? We light Shabbos candles, yeah, going into Shabbos. We light Shabbos candles going into, like, we're going into a Zman of Or, we're going into a Zman of Light. It's very beautiful. But then we light a candle when we leave Shabbos as well. We light a candle when we leave Shabbos. And there are a lot of Pasha Pshat, there's two reasons for that. You know, number one is to be Mavdil B'Kodesh Chol and show that I could now light a fire. I wasn't allowed to light a fire all Shabbos. We're also thanking Hashem for fire that we weren't, that was created on Matzei Shabbos. But maybe also it's a symbol. Maybe also Shabbos Vad is full of light. And I feel so close to Hashem and I'm disconnected from this crazy world that brings me so down. Matzei Shabbos, I light a candle again to say, I'm going to bring light into the week. I'm going to bring so much light into the week. I'm on fire already. I'm going to bring light into the week. The Yerushalmi and Brachos, that the light of Matzei Shabbos can also replace the Or HaGanas. That spiritual light, Matzei Shabbos, not the light of Shabbos, the light of Matzei Shabbos. Because it's clear on Shabbos there's light. Am I going to have light all week long? And am I going to be on fire all week long? Am I going to take the fire of Hanukkah into the whole year? Into the whole year. So I want to share with the Chevra an incredible Torah that I think is the key, because the question is, you know, all this is very beautiful and we all want this, but how? You know, I want to be on fire. I want to not be reliant on outside inspiration. I want to have it from within me. I want to be able to deal with whatever challenge comes my way and be full of emunah, I'm full of bitachon, I'm full of kirvas elokim. I want all of that. But how can I have it always? How can I walk out of Hanukkah and be the candle that's burning bright? You know, already by Mincha today, we lay in Parshas Vayigash. And the truth is, all these Parshas, Miketz, Vayigash, is even Vayichi. Starting really, Vayeshev already. It's like one long story. It's like hard to stop in the middle. I don't know if you're reading the parasha today and you're following the parasha. It's like we're in the middle of a story here. And I remember back in I don't really watch movies anymore much, but when people sometimes always would watch movies, and I remember thinking this as when I was in high school, and they sometimes stop in the middle and then finish it the next day. I'm like, I never understood how anyone could ever do that. Like if you're watching a movie. And it's not a shir to a chizik that you guys should watch movies or anything. But I'm just bringing out a point, right? There's an emotional connection and you're into that storyline and you're quote unquote living the storyline on some level. How do you just stop in the middle and go back to it? There's a certain continuity that you need to feel. You need to be, you're not going to, you pick up in the middle. It's like these parshas are how do we stop? Let's keep on going. Let's keep, what's going to happen next? So in Parshas Vayigash, finally, we know, and it's not a spoiler because we all have gone through it before, right? You've lived a few years and know these Parshios. You remember them already, these Parshios, probably from kindergarten. Such beautiful Parshios. So finally, Yaakov Avinu finds out that Yosef HaTzadik is still alive. That incredible moment. The incredible moment when Yosef reveals himself to his brothers, Ani Yosef, Ahod Avichai. And then all of Klal Yisrael, all of Klal Yisrael, in those days it was 70 people, right? The origin of our nation. They travel down to Mitzrayim. And they finally make their way down. And we're all excited for this moment. Imagine that moment of reunion between Yosef and Yaakov. You ever think about how powerful that moment in time was? And there's this famous Rashi and famous question on the Rashi and on the Medrash. At that very moment, what happens? You all heard this before. You've all learned this before. That Yosef and Yaakov embrace, and Yosef is crying. Tears of emotion in that powerful, incredible moment. It's been 22 years. And what is Yaakov doing at that moment? Whoever remembers what Yaakov was doing at that moment. He's not crying. He's not hugging him, being emotional. What is he saying? What's he doing? Right, he's saying Kriya Shema. Very, very famous. He's saying Shema, and all of the Mefarshim ask him, what understanding, the famous Maral and others. What is Yaakov doing? Yaakov, be a little normal. You could hug your son that you haven't seen in 22 years, that you thought was dead, that you've been mourning. You've refused to be consoled. You could cry. Okay, even if it's Nate and the perfect time to say Shema, I think Hashem would understand to say Shema in a few moments and first give your son a hug and cry and be with him. So years ago, I saw a Torah from Rav Zalman Sorotkin in his Naim LaTorah. It's one of the most special Torahs I've seen in my life. Because this Torah, in ways like I've hardly ever seen, brings the world of Torah Shebiksav and the world of Torah Shebaal Peh together as one in the most incredible of ways. There's a Gemara in Brachos, and through it we'll answer this question. And through it we'll also learn about what it is to be on fire always, I believe. There's Gemara in Brachos Daf Hei, and the Gemara in Brachos Daf Hei says that the avodah of every single one of us our whole lives is to fight and be victorious over the Yetzer Hara. Every one of us, we feel at times the Yetzer Hara, and the Yetzer Hara has all different tactics in trying to pull us down, and our avodah is to destroy the Yetzer Hara. To defeat the Yetzer. And sometimes we're victorious, and the Gemara says, "If nitzchu, if you're victorious, mutav, great. If you win a battle, amazing. If lav, if not, the Gemara gives us a three-prong attack. What to do if you feel the Yetzer is being victorious over you? What to do if you feel that you're being lazy and not living up to the way you want to dav and the way you want to treat people? You feel taiva is getting strong and you find yourself doing things that you know you shouldn't be doing. Whatever the Yetzer might be, If your victory is great. If not, first step, yasok b'torah. It's an interesting lashon, yasok b'torah. Deal with Torah. It's not necessarily just learning Torah. It is learning Torah. That's definitely being oisik b'torah. What we're doing right now, for sure, is being oisik b'torah, connecting to Torah. In the deepest of ways, being inspired by Torah. Barasi Yetara, Barasi Torah Tavla, and Hashem created Yetara, and He created Torah as the antidote. But it's oisik b'torah. Oisik b'torah could also mean one day b'shatoiva, when you're zoicha, being moser nefesh, so that your husband could go learn Torah at night, or in the morning. Oisik b'torah could mean being that incredible mother, b'shatoiva, in the right time, who's bringing up your children to go learn Torah, and teaching them how important that is, and inspiring them, want them. And of course, for yourself, for each and every one of you to be oisik b'torah in whatever way that means, that's the first step. Im nitzchu mutav, if you're victorious, great. Im lav, what's the next? Let's say that doesn't work, you do that. You're oisik b'torah, you still feel the Yetara strong. The Gemara says, Koyer Kriya Shema. You should say Shema. Shema, special Torah. Shema Yisrael, Shem Elokein, Hashem Echad. You remember Hashem, you're one, you're everything. I love you, Hashem. I love you, Hashem, with all my heart, with all my soul. I love you, Hashem, with my everything. Say Shema. And that will remind you how much Hashem is the most important part of our lives and give us the inspiration to defeat the Yetzer Hara. The Gemara says if that works, great. And if that doesn't work, there's one last step to defeating the Yetzer Hara, right? The Gemara is telling us in Brachos Daf Hei how to defeat a Yetzer Hara. First, be osik b'torah, deal with Torah. If that doesn't work, say Shema. Profess one's love for Hashem. And that will give you the chizik to defeat the Yetzer Hara. And if that doesn't work, the final step, yaskir lo yom ha-misa. Mention your day of death. It's a Gemara and Brachos, Daf Hei. And by the way, I don't mean, and I don't believe that means, and there are many Mamre Chazal that remind us of that. They don't mean in a depressing way. Hashem doesn't want us to be sad and depressed. He doesn't want us to think, oh, I might pass away soon, in a depressing way. Even though Hashem is simcha, Hashem wants us always to be simcha. But Yaskir lo ha-misa is a way to inspire us to realize none of us are living forever. And I have to make the most of every moment, the most of every day. I don't know how long I'm going to be on this world. I'm going to give in to my Yetzer Hara. I'm going to spend time, waste my time in such a way, fall in such a way. Yaskir lo ha-misa, I only have a few years in this world. You know how short 120 years is? Halavai, I'll live to 120. That's a very short time in the grand scheme of things. Yaskir lo ha-misa. Again, not in a depressing way, in an inspiring way. That's the final step. So that's what the Gemara, this Gemara in Brachos, seemingly this Gemara in Brachos has nothing to do with the parashios we're learning, right? Seemingly has nothing to do with Yaakov coming down to Mitzrayim and seeing Yosef and saying Kriya Shema at that very moment. Or maybe it does. Listen to what the Rambam Sosko says. Incredible. Again, right? Just chazer so you know it, because you got to hear this. And halavai, we should all be looking in the Chumash, but you'll trust me in this. And you'll check the Chumash. Because just this Torah is Kodesh Kedoshim. All we came together was to learn this Torah tonight. You know, sometimes people ask me all the time, you know, how to work on building emunah, building our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so it will be on fire in the way we're talking about tonight. So I can keep the fire of Hanukkah with me, because I want it so badly. I don't want to struggle with my temptations. I don't want to struggle with my challenges. I have them, but I want to be able to stand up strong and know Hashem is by my side. I want to have that always. And there are a lot of different ways tonight. Again, truth is, sometimes I think every year should just be about emunah because it's the foundation of everything. But Lamaisa, one of the deepest ways is just learning Torah, because Torah is the personality of Hashem, Torah is the wisdom of Hashem, and Torah is the way that we get close to Hashem. And the more Torah we have in our life, the more connected to Him we feel. But when you learn a Torah like this, it's seeing the infinite wisdom of Hashem. This is something that can't be man-made. It's too special. It's too incredible. Listen to this. So just have that Gemara in mind, right? Everyone has to have that in mind when we open up to see these psukim, that there's three steps in defeating the Eight Ha'ara, the Gemara says. Osek b'Torah, learning Torah, dealing with Torah, Kriya Shema, and Yaskir Lo Yambisa. And we're trying to understand through this, why was it Yaakov, the moment he sees Yosef, his son, his love of his life, through Rachel Imenu, instead of hugging and kissing and crying with him, he's saying Shema, strangely. Yaakov Avinu is Bechir Avos. Yaakov Avinu is Kodesh Kedoshim. Yaakov Avinu, we're all Bnei Yisrael. That's Bnei Yaakov. And Yaakov Avinu, clearly, his whole life is living up to the purpose in this world, like the Gemara says, which is to defeat his Yetzara, right? That's why we're placed here. And he's doing it to the best of his ability. Now, for the first time, he's traveling down to Mitzrayim. He's traveling down to Mitzrayim. He's leaving Eretz Yisrael, Kodesh Kedoshim, and traveling to Mitzrayim. Mitzrayim, at the time, Chazal teach us, was like the hub of Taiva, the lowest of places spiritually. All Zima, all the most lowest. So Yaakov Avinu, clearly, as being such a tzaddik, was already able to sense and feel the tumah of Mitzrayim, right? Just being there. Tzaddikim are able to feel that. Able to sense it, able to know it. Reading a story today, Rabbi Tzion Abishol, great Sephardic tzaddik. Now somebody was supposed to come pick him up, and the man woke up very late, and he was supposed to pick him 8:45, and the guy woke up 8:30. So he didn't daven yet, but he said, I'm supposed to pick up the tzaddik, I'll have to daven late, I'll pick him up and drive him where I have to and get up. And he comes to the tzaddik's house, the tzaddik looks at him and says, you have to put on tefillin first. He knew, he felt, a yid that didn't put on tefillin yet. So Yaakov Avinu, listen to this, he's traveling down to Mitzrayim, he's leaving the holiness of Eretz Yisrael, and he's traveling to the lowest of places, Biruchni. So what does he do? He starts to feel the Yetzer Hara getting stronger. He starts to feel it while he's traveling down. So what does he do? Famously, you'll remember this, but now you understand deeper why he did it exactly then. The Pasuk said in Perek Memvav, Pasuk Laches, it's important to hear the exact makar because you're going to look at this inside and see this for your own eyes. Ves Yehuda Shalach Lefanov. Ves Yehuda Shalach Lefanov. He sent Yehuda. And why did he send Yehuda? Why did he send Yehuda? Lahoros Lefanov. And Rashi explains, the Medrash explains very famously, and Rashi quotes it, L'takin lo beis Talmud, Shemisham Teitera. He's on his way down, and suddenly says, go set up a beis medrash. Suddenly. By the way, it's so interesting. Right now, Ves Yehuda Shalach Lefanov. But why? It makes perfect sense. Lefi this Gemara Brachos. Because when you start to feel the Yetzer, he was on his way down. He's already feeling some level of the Tum Mitzrayim. He left Eretz Yisrael. What does he have to be? Osek b'Torah. So he sends Yehuda to set up a beis medrash. That's him being Osek b'Torah. The very next pasuk, V'yeser Yosef merkavto v'yalik Kris Yisrael aviv goshna. Yosef gets off his chariot and goes to greet his father. And Yosef falls on his neck and is crying. That pasuk where at that moment, what is Yaakov doing? You all know, saying Shema, right? Where did that happen? Yosef's the second in command. Yosef's Mishnah L'melech. Yosef can't leave Egypt. You know where he greets Yaakov? At the border. And Yosef's so excited to see his father. But this is the very next pasuk, by the way. And Yaakov, of course, wants to hug his son. And Yaakov, of course, wants to cry with his son and kiss his son and show the love and affection of a father to her son. But Yaakov understood that the most important avod of his life, above and beyond everything else, is defeating his Yetzer Hara. You know what happened when he got to the border? of Mitzrayim. He gets to the border. He starts to feel his Yetzer even stronger. The Tumah is so much stronger. He's at the border. He's not just traveling down. He's mamish right there. So before he gives his son a hug and kiss and cries, what does the Gemara say you have to do? He already was Osik B'Torah, the last pasuk. That's Yudish Alach Banam. What's the second step in defeating Yetzer Hara? Kriya Krishma. That's why he said Krishma at that very moment. And then he listened to this to bring it home. And then he enters Mitzrayim with his son. And when he enters Mitzrayim, of course, the Tumah was even stronger. The Yetzer Hara felt much stronger. The first pasuk Chaches, he was traveling down. He starts to feel it a little. Yehuda Shalach Vanav. The next pasuk at the border, he says Kriyashma. The very next pasuk, three pasukim in a row, you can't make this up. Vayomer Yisrael Yosef. Yaakov says to Yosef, listen to his words. Amusa hapa machri rosi es penecha kiod chachai. Now that I've seen your face, that you're still alive, I could die in peace. He's yaskir lo yom emisa. He mentions the day of death. Three psukim in a row. Why is he mentioning death? Now I could die in peace. Why is Yaakov thinking about death? Because he entered Mitzrayim. He entered Mitzrayim, and the Yetzer Hara was even stronger, of course. The Tumah was even stronger. So the Gemara in Brachos tells us what the last step you have to do to defeat the Yetzer Hara. Yaskir Leinu Misa. Mention day of death. You have to look at it inside. You have to look at it inside. You'll see. Perek Mam Vav, Pasuk Chavches, Chavtes, Lamed. The Gemara is Gemara Brachos, Daf Hei, Amid Aleph. All the way at the top. First few lines. I don't know how many of you are looking up the Gemara Brachos, but you get it. So now you understand why he was saying Shema. And you see the Gemara, where the Gemara comes from. Mamish, the Psukim and the Gemara are one in the most beautiful of ways. But it's also teaching us a life of fire, a life of light. And I'll show you what I believe. I want to bring home a deeper message within this. There were three things that the Yevanim, more than any other mitzvahs, wanted to take away from us. You all know this, right? Shabbos, Milah, and Rosh Chodesh. You know why perhaps those three? You know why perhaps those three? Let's start with Shabbos. Shabbos Chodesh. We just went through Shabbos. We just had Shabbos. How beautiful. How much do we all look forward to Shabbos every single week? Imagine where we'd be without Shabbos. Don't imagine. You can't imagine. It's such Kedusha. It's mamish so incredible. Every week, how much we look forward to Shabbos. How incredible Shabbos. Shabbos Sudas. And just disconnecting from our phone and from the world. And being with our family. And being with friends. And being with Hashem. And being with ourselves. Sometimes you don't even know what it is to be with yourself except on Shabbos. Because there's so many other responsibilities. There's so much else going on. Just to be with yourself. I'll tell you, I'm Amish, I've said this before, like, I'm not a racist person or anything, I don't look down on others, but when I see the Ummah Soilam, the other, you know, non-Jews, I'm Amish, like, often, just, when I just feel bad for them, that you don't have Shabbos. Like, how do you exist? I don't know how they exist, I don't know, you don't have Shabbos? Like, where's all the pleasure of your life? Like, where's all the calm of your life? Like, what do you have? It's a pella to me. I don't know how you'd be in this world. Like, I don't know how they exist. Shabbos. But if you open up the Shulchan Aruch, Mishnah Brura, Hilchos Shabbos tells us what Shabbos is really deeply for. I'm going to read you from Simen Reish Tzadi in the Shulchan Aruch, in the Mishnah Brura Zayin. We'll start actually. Go back. We'll go to Hay. We'll go to Hay. And it's talking about there, the Shulchan Aruch there talks about learning on Shabbos. And the Mishnah Berurah quotes a Medrash. Amar Torah lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Torah itself came to Hashem. Ribbono Shel Olam, Master of the Universe. Kishakantu Yisrael La'aretz. When the Jews enter Eretz Yisrael, Zeratz l'karmo, Zeratz l'sadeu. This guy's going to go to his vineyard. This guy's going to go to his field. Ani matei alai. What's going to be with me? for 40 years in the desert. They had Mon, they had Bar Miriam, and they're learning Torah all day because they had the ability to. Now they have to earn a parnasa, and the Torah says, what's going to be with me? Amar le yesh li zug shani mezavig loch. Don't worry, I have your shidduch. Torah, don't worry, I have your zivug. V'shabbos shmo. Its name is Shabbos. Shein betelim imalachtam b'chon lasuk bach. Where they're not going to be involved in malacha, and they're going to be able to deal with you. They're going to be able to learn you. Mishnah Berurah in Zayin quotes Yerushalmi, lo nidnu, listen to this, lo nidnu shabbosos v'yom tov nisrol, ela kedei la'asok ben betorah. The only reason that God gave us Shabbos and Yontif was to learn Torah. Mimnei shekol yomos acholim trudim imlachtam, because all the days of the week we're busy and all different types of responsibility. Ve'ein lam p'nai la'asok ba b'kviyas, u'b'shabbos ein p'nuyim imlach v'chon la'asok ba'karoi. Because all week long we're very busy. So we have Shabbos to learn Torah. Don't ever forget that. There are a lot of responsibilities in life. And obviously as women, it's a different role than men and a different connection to Limud HaTorah. And there are a lot of achrayas that you have. Shabbos Kodesh is a time that we make sure to learn some Torah on Shabbos. And connect HaKadosh Baruch Hu in that deepest ways. And Matzei Shabbos, like we do, is just an extension of Shabbos. It's a schus, that's when we learn together. The Yevanim took away Shabbos. Maybe that's what it was. They were taking away Torah, which was the first tactic to defeat the Yetzer Hara. They want us to fall to the Yetzer Hara, because then when we fall to the Yetzer Hara, we're prone to our enemies. So first they have to take away the first prong, Shabbos. Because they were really taking away Torah. Then they took away Mila. What is Mila? What is Bris Mila? Bris Mila is Mesir Snefesh for Hashem. Chassam Sofer says that it's mamish sakonis nefashos that we're willing to take our 8-day-old babies and do this to them. And we do it because the Eibishter told us to, because it's Mesir Snefesh for Hashem. It's mamish physically going through pain, going through suffering in our earliest of days. It's Mesir Snefesh for Hashem. The Yevanim were taking away our Mesir Snefesh. Maybe that's what the Gemara in Bracha says. The first is Torah. What's the second way to defeat the Torah? Say Shema. Why Shema? What's Shema? V'havdi Shem Akecha b'chol levavcha v'chol nafcha miyodecha. That I'm Mesir Nefesh for you, Hashem. That you remind yourself I'm willing to sacrifice for you, Hashem. Even when it might be hard. Even when it might be difficult. Even when I'm being pulled towards whatever temptation it is. B'chol nafcha, I'm willing to give up my life for you, Hashem. So Yevam took away Mesir Snefesh. They took away Mila. The second step in defeating the Yetzer. And then they took away Rosh Chodesh. Rosh Chodesh, that first mitzvah that's given to Yisrael, is a mitzvah that reminds us to sanctify time. That reminds us how precious time is. That reminds us how every minute is holy and special. Yaskir lo yom hamisa, to recognize how precious, how special time is, so that I won't fall prey to my Yetzer Hara. And I'll utilize and make the most of every moment. So maybe the three mitzvos that the Yevanim were trying to take away all correspond to the three weights to defeat the Yetzer Hara, which were the three psukim in a row that Yaakov was involved in. And maybe that's the key to keep the light burning bright. We don't have chat kalicht all year long. We're not going home and lighting a menorah tonight. That little child that we spoke about at the beginning tonight, he wanted to, but of course we can't. Lighting, yeah, you could. You know what, if you'd like, you go home and light a menorah tonight. You know what, that is meaningless. Nothing. You can, if you make brachos, the brachos v'atollah, that's awesome. You want to light your menorah? Shkoyach, you know what you're lighting a menorah is? It's lighting candles tonight. It's amazing. Two nights ago, it was Kodesh Gashem. It was a mitzvah of Zeus Chanukah. Tonight, you do the same thing, it's just candles. But I want that light. I still want that fire burning bright. So we have to be alive. Being Oisek B'Torah. being moiser nefesh, be willing to sacrifice, and making the most of every moment. Concretizing our time, consecrating our time, sanctifying our time, making it holy, making it special. Every moment. And a lot of us are going to have, as we said before, a lot of us are coming upon some level of a bein hazmanim, some level of vacation. Sometimes that's the hardest time. And it doesn't mean you're not allowed to enjoy yourself. But not bittel zman. There's a difference. Time should be calculated. Enjoyable time is, we all need time for breaks. We all need time to enjoy. We all need time to relax. But how much? Is that because I need it or because I'm just wasting time? And maybe if I have a little extra time, it's a little more time to learn, a little more time to do chesed, a little more time to daven. To be oisik b'torah, to be moiser nefesh, to sanctify time. You know what's going to happen when I do those three things? I'll defeat my yetzer. I'll have that light of Chanukah with me because that's exactly what the Yevanim were taking away from us. And I'll be on fire. I don't need a menorah. I lit the menorah. Now the Shalheves is Olam Me'aleha. Now I'm on fire. And that fire will bring happiness. That's why it's amazing. What were the three mitzvos? Shabbos, Milah, and Chodesh. Take the Rosh Tevels. Shin, Mem, Ches. Sameach. Sameach. Because when I live that type of life, and I live that meaningful life connected to Torah with Mesiras Nefesh and making the most of every moment, I walk away the happiest person in the world. Because I feel I'm on fire. I'm that light in the darkest of times, no matter what comes my way. And we could all be that. We could all be that. Especially during these days. I spoke about it already 2 weeks ago when we had the schus to be together, but you know that just 3 weeks ago, 2.5 weeks ago, whenever it was, I had the schus to be in Eretz Yisrael. Can't wait to get back. Bekarov Bez Hashem. And the biggest light of that time was just meeting these holy Jews who are living through physically the darkest of times in history, in our history, in our generation, yet are so on fire, are so light, are so brightening the world because they're connected to Torah. They're willing and they understand what it is to be Moser Nefesh for Hashem. You have our holy soldiers that understand what it is to be Moser Nefesh for Hashem, and parents of lost soldiers who understand what it is that their children were Moser Nefesh for Hashem. And they're not living and thinking about the big picture of years and years. They're just making the most of every day in the most beautiful of ways. When we do that, through the darkest of times, there's simcha, there's sameach, there's light. And I'm that ish, I'm the fire. I'm the fire of Chanukah. I'm the ish tamid tukal mevbeach lo sichba afilu b'masos, even when I'm traveling and journeying away from Chanukah. I'm on fire. And I reread recently a story. I said the story years ago. I actually didn't see it. I saw it somewhere else. I don't remember where. And then Rav Melech Biederman on his Sefer on Chanukah brings down the story. And I think it's exactly what we need to be feeling and understanding. He says there was a Yid, a Chassid, was traveling and ended up in Australia. He was there during the week for some meetings and then realized he's going to be stuck there for Shabbos, but he didn't know anybody there. And somehow he met this man, this frum man at some marketplace, and he asked him, and he ended up asking him if he could come for Shabbos, and he invited him for Shabbos. And he comes to his house, and he couldn't believe this man was clearly an extremely wealthy individual, had this beautiful mansion, beautiful house. And they go to shul, lel Shabbos, and they come back, and Friday night he's sitting down, this exquisite table, delicious delicacies, the most beautiful silverware in China. And he has a break front full of just incredible pieces of silver. But amongst it all, there's this one like broken shards of glass in the break front with all the very expensive silver. And it looked very strange. It looked very out of place. So eventually, when he felt enough of a comfort zone with his host, this chazir, he asked the man, the gvir, he says, tell me something, you have this beautiful house, it's really, and thank you, I'm so comfortable here. You've opened your house to me, I feel so at home, but I just have to ask you a question. You have all these beautiful pieces of silver, what's with the broken glass in there? He says, I'll tell you the story. He says, I grew up religious. When I was 12 years old, my father passed away. And I had to go very early and work to earn a living, to help the family. And I actually, very early, I was very prosperous, very successful. But I was young and I didn't have the yeshiva years I should have had. And I got pulled in with people that were probably bad influences with me. And eventually I've supported my family, but I went off the derech completely. And eventually I got married. I married a Jew. But that was it. The extent of our Judaism was I married a Jew. Nothing. No Yom Kippur, no Rosh Hashanah, nothing. And one day I was walking outside. It's in the winter. And I see a bunch of kids playing. And I see one kid, he's on the side, sitting on like a step, crying. And I go over to him, I say, what's wrong? They're Jewish boys. What's wrong? Why are you crying? He says, let me tell you something. This little boy, maybe an 8-year-old boy, he looks at this man, he says, my family, we're not that well off. And I don't know if you know, he didn't even know this guy was Jewish. He says, I don't know if you know, but we're in the middle of the holiday of Hanukkah. Actually, tonight was the first night of Hanukkah. It was about to be Hanukkah. And my father, imagine how poor they were, he saved up money for a while that we should be able to have money for oil and for wicks. And he sent me to this store to buy oil. Came in a glass bottle, and he told me, take care of this, this is going to be our oil for Hanukkah, and come straight home. And I'm walking home, I was so proud and so excited, and I saw my friends, they were playing with this ball in the street, I put down the oil on the side, I'm going to play with them, and one of the boys kicked the ball, and it hit, and it was, he looked, and he saw this shattered glass, oil spilled everywhere. This wealthy man looks at this boy as, don't worry. He takes out his wallet and gives him way more money than he even needed for the oil. He says, take this and buy some food for your family and go get new oil and have a beautiful, happy Hanukkah. And the boy was so thankful, he gave him a hug and he was so happy. This man, he couldn't believe it. He was mamish, so moved by this boy, but he was also so moved and so emotional that he realized that he was so far from where he was, he didn't even know that that night was supposed to be Hanukkah. He didn't even know that it was going to be Hanukkah. And at that moment, he decided, he saw the raw emotion of this little boy, and he realized, and it brought him back to his childhood, and he missed it. He missed it. And he decided there and then that he's going to light the Hanukkah menorah for the first time in years and years and years. Comes home that night and he bought himself a menorah and everything. And his wife, like, what are you doing? What are we doing? He says, listen, I saw this, tells the story. He says, we're going to light menorah. He says, really? Are you sure? He's like, don't worry, we're not going to do anything else. Just menorah. Hanukkah, light. It'll be beautiful. And he looks at this chassid. He's telling the story. He says, let me tell you something. That Hanukkah, we lit the menorah every night and it felt so warm and so true and so real. Was the most I felt myself in 30 years. And I knew that I had to come back. And that eventually led to kosher, led to Shabbos, and led to complete Shomer Torah mitzvahs as we are today. The broken glass, you see, amongst all the silver is the most precious thing in the break front. It's the most precious item that we have in this house. Because that broken glass is what reminded me who I really am. And brought back myself and my wife and all of my children. But you see, for that man, it wasn't just the Chanukah licht. The Chanukah licht was a fire that lit him on fire. And he took that fire with him and led him to a whole different life. A life of Torah, a life of mitzvahs, a life of simcha. So too each and every one of us. Hanukkah Hanukkah's over for now, for Tav Shin Pei Dalet. But we have to keep the candles burning bright. That we have to be the ones, we're Atshetei Shel Heves Oylem Eileha, that we're burning bright. It's that, just like for that man, that Hanukkah was kept with him forever and ever. So to us, can't be reliant on the candles to be on fire. We have Torah. We have Mesiras Nefesh. We have the recognition of a Rosh Chodesh, V'yaskei Yom HaMisa. We have the R, the light. It's Matzei Shabbos Kodesh, the first Matzei Shabbos after Hanukkah. And I don't know, it doesn't, the Medrash Tanchuma I saw in these words, Vas Yehuda Shalach Lefanov, that taught us about all these Yesodos, somehow starts talking about the candle of Avdallah. Out of nowhere. And that candle of Avdallah that we mentioned before, the Yerushalmi says, is the candle that burns bright and brings the Or HaGanuz back into the world. So Hanukkah, we all know famously, was the Or HaGanuz, the 36 candles. But as we said before, as it's Matzei Shabbos Kodesh, the candle of Avdallah brightens the whole entire week. We have to be that fire. We have to make sure that it's Matzei Chanukah all year long. That we could think back in 6 months from now and still be on fire from the light of the menorah. Living a different life. A life of Oisik B'Torah. A life of Shabbos. A life of Mila of Mesiras Nefesh. A life of Rosh Chodesh, of Yaskir Lo Yom HaMisa. That chus of the light burning bright and do away with all the darkness that the world has seen. Will be zoichet to the ultimate light with Gula Shleima, with Mashiach Zekeinu, B'mheira B'yameinu.